Chapter 26. The first time I saw Finn Calvert was in the street outside the surgery when I was talking to Brigadier Julian Coote Brown about his shooting dogs. The Brigadier was almost the stage version of an English aristocrat, immensely tall with a pronounced stoop, hawk features and a high drawling voice. As he spoke, smoke from a narrow cigar trickled from his lips. I turned my head at the clatter of heavy boots on the pavement. A thick-set figure was stumping rapidly towards us, hands tucked behind his braces, ragged jacket pulled wide to display a curving expanse of collarless shirt, wisps of grizzled hair hanging in a fringe beneath a greasy cap. He was smiling widely at nobody in particular, and he hummed busily to himself. The Brigadier glanced at him.
"Morning, Calvert,"
he grunted coldly. Phineas threw up his head in pleased recognition.
"Well then, Charlie, how is that?"
he shouted. The Brigadier looked as though he had swallowed a swift pint of vinegar. He removed his cigar with a shaking hand and stared after the retreating back.
"Impudent devil," he muttered.
Looking at Finn, you would never have thought he was a prosperous farmer. I was called to his place a week later and was surprised to find a substantial house and buildings and a fine dairy herd grazing in the fields. I could hear him even before I got out of the car.
"Hello, hello, hello. What's this we've got, then? New chap, eh? Now we're going to learn summat."
He still had his hands inside his braces and was grinning wider than ever. "My name is Harriet," I said.
"Is it now?"
Finn cocked his head and surveyed me. Then he turned to three young men standing by.
"Hasn't he a nice smile, lads? He's a real happy Harry."
He turned and began to lead the way across the yard.
"Come on, then, and we'll see what you're made of. I hope you know a bit about cars, because I got some in here that are right dowly."
As he went into the calf house, I was hoping I'd be able to do something impressive. Perhaps use some of the new drugs and sera I had in my car. It was going to take something special to make an impact here. There were six well-grown young animals, almost stirk size, and three of them were behaving very strangely, grinding their teeth, frothing at the mouth, and blundering about the pen as though they couldn't see. As I watched, one of them walked straight into the wall and stood with its nose pressed against the stone. Finn, apparently unconcerned, was humming to himself in the corner. When I started to take my thermometer from its case, he burst into a noisy commentary.
"Now then, what's he doing? Ah! We're off now. Get up there."
The half minute which my thermometer spends in an animal's rectum is usually devoted to hectic thought. But this time I didn't need the time to work out my diagnosis. The blindness made it easy. I began to look round the walls of the calf house. It was dark and I had to get my face close to the stone. Finn gave tongue again.
"Hey, what's going on? You're as bad as calves, nosing about there dozy-like. What do you think you're looking for?"
"Paint, Mr. Calvert. I'm nearly sure your calves have got lead poisoning." Finn said what all farmers say at this juncture.
"They can't have. I've had calves in here for 30 years and they've never taken any harm before. There's no paint in here anyway."
"How about this, then?" I peered into the darkest corner and pulled at a piece of loose board.
"Oh, that's no but a piece of wood I nailed down there last week to block up a hole. Came off an old henhouse."
I looked at the 20-year-old paint hanging off in the loose flakes which calves find so irresistible.
"This is what's done the damage," I said. "Look, you can see the tooth marks where they've been at it."
Finn studied the board at close quarters and grunted doubtfully.
"All right. What do we do now?"
"First thing is to get this painted board out of here and then give all the calves Epsom salts. Have you got any?" Phil gave a bark of laughter.
"Aye! I've got a bloody great sackful. But can't you do out better than that? Aren't you going to inject them?"
It was a little embarrassing. The specific antidotes to metal poisoning had not been discovered, and the only thing which sometimes did a bit of good was magnesium sulfate, which caused the precipitation of insoluble lead sulfate. The homely term for magnesium sulfate is, of course, Epsom salts. No, I said, there's nothing I can inject that will help at all, and I can't even guarantee the salts will. But I'd like you to give the calves 2 heaped tablespoons 3 times a day.
Oh, well, you'll skitter the poor boogers to death.
Maybe so, but there's nothing else for it, I said. Finn took a step towards me so that his face, dark-skinned and deeply wrinkled, was close to mine. The suddenly shrewd, mottled brown eyes regarded me steadily for a few seconds, then he turned away quickly.
Right, he said. Come in and have a drink.
Finn stumped into the farm kitchen ahead of me, threw back his head and let loose a bellow that shook the windows.
Mother! Fellow here wants a glass of beer! Come and meet Happy Harry!
Mrs. Calvert appeared with magical speed and put down glasses and bottles. I glanced at the labels. Smith's Nutty Brown Ale, and filled my glass. It was a historic moment, although I didn't know it then. It was the first of an incredible series of nutty browns I was to drink at that table. Mrs. Calvert sat down for a moment, crossed her hands on her lap and smiled encouragingly.
"Can you do anything for the calves, then?" she asked.
Finn butted in before I could reply.
"Oh, aye, he can and all. He's put them onto Epsom salts."
"Epsom salts?"
"That's it, missus. I said when he came that we'd get something real smart and scientific-like. You can't beat new blood and modern ideas."
Finn sipped his beer, gravely. Over the following days, the calves gradually improved, and at the end of a fortnight, they were all eating normally. The worst one still showed a trace of blindness, but I was confident this too would clear up.